Starting in verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Again, Father, we do ask that you bless our time together. Father, I ask that you would just bless the reading of your word. Father, you said that your word would never return void. It would always, Lord, accomplish your will. And Father, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It really does cut to the chase, Lord. It really, Father, helps us to see the truth, helps us to see where maybe we are believing a lie, where we're being led astray. We just thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. It truly is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. But Father, as Christians, as born-again believers, we're grateful for the account that we can read of Jesus Christ being born into this world. It was not his beginning, but he chose to come into this world to robe himself in flesh. And Father, you don't have a beginning, nor do you have an end, and we thank you, Lord, that we do serve the true living God. And thank you, Father, that you loved us as the human race. Father, that you loved us so much that you gave us the greatest gift of all, and that is life through Jesus Christ. That is having a place prepared for every single person that put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Father, what a wonderful thing that we have that can never be taken away from us. Someone may can take our belongings, some may can hurt our feelings, but they can never take away the gift that you have given us. Father, we ask that you would bless our time, bless the children in junior church. Father, help us, Lord, just as we continue to worship this Christmas season, to truly see what the worship of Christmas is all about. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you're very familiar with this account in Scripture where the shepherds are met by the host of angels and also met by the Lord, and we'll see that in a minute. But on this special night, the night of the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, God thought it was good enough to celebrate that moment. And believe me, as a parent who has seen all 10 of my children being born, what a blessing and a miracle it is. I always grieved for my wife going through the pain and stuff, but then we would rejoice together just seeing this baby that did not begin when the baby was born, but began at conception. Life begins at conception. Never forget that. Don't let the worlds, don't let the media, don't let liars tell you otherwise. Life begins at conception. And what a miracle it is all on its own. But the miracle of Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world. Christmas has a lot of wonderful things. I love seeing all the different Christmas lights. My wife and I, we love listening to old cheesy Christmas songs, you know, from the old days, all right, because her grandmother would always play these Christmas songs. You know, I won't mention, the singers and stuff, but, you know, the ones back from, you know, the 30s, the 40s, the 20s, you know, the old stuff, right? Well, my wife and I, we just love that stuff, all right? But it's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus Christ and God's love for you and me and every single person. I want us to see this morning the true worship of Christmas. Worship is the act of a reverent heart. Worship is the act of a reverent heart. And we see that with the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.'" These men, with their entourage, left where they were and traveled for months to come to where Jesus was for the sole purpose of worshiping him. Now, could they have done it right where they were out? Absolutely. But their hearts led them to come to where Jesus was, led by a star. But in their hearts, though, they knew what the star meant that they had seen in the east, and they came to worship the King of Kings. Now, God moves in our heart often. And when God moves in our heart and draws us to him, it is a time of worship. It is a time to spend with him. It's a time to give him what's due him, and that is glory and honor. And those wise men, they brought gifts to the Lord. They brought gifts to the Lord, but the focus was not the gifts, though the gifts were significant. The gifts symbolized his life and what he had come to do. The gold, representing that he is of royalty. I mean, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that myrrh, that frankincense, that would obviously represent the fact he came to die. But yet the men, those wise men, came because the focus of their worship was Jesus Christ. Again, for them, they were looking in a manger. They were looking at a baby, but they knew it was more than just a baby. They knew it was the Lord. It was the Messiah. It was the Savior. This morning, I want us to think about three truths about our worship according to the account that we see with these shepherds. Number one, I want you to look at verse 7 and 7, 8, 9, and 10 again. Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'" I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 9, that there was a special messenger. Our worship, the first truth is, our worship must always be based on Scripture. Our worship must always be based on Scripture, which is truth. God's word is true. In verse number 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord," not a angel, but the angel of the Lord. And this is a revealing of Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the angel of the Lord. And here it says the angel of the Lord is the one that comes with this message. Now somebody says, "Well, how is that possible? If that's Jesus showing up to the shepherds, well, how can he be in the manger?" Because he's omniscient, right? He's God. Just like he can be with us this morning and with the Christians that are meeting underground in China around the world, right? So again, the Lord himself reveals the message to the shepherds, the great shepherd revealing to, I'll call them, the under shepherds, revealing this great truth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord," again speaking of Christ, "appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.'" Again, it was a special messenger because it was a special message. Look at verse number 10 of Luke chapter 2. "And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'"
Again, what a wonderful message it was. The Savior of the world had come. Who did God send to preach the gospel of Christ, to even start teaching of the death, burial, and resurrection? It was not an angel, it was Jesus himself. Because when you read in the Gospels, Jesus often would bring up his death, burial, and resurrection and how it was going to happen, how his disciples, you know, even Peter said, "Be it far from thee, this is not going to happen." The Lord himself came to preach the gospel and to give the gospel to his disciples and followers to preach after his resurrection. But again, it's a special messenger with that special message, and that message speaks of assurance. Listen, in verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not." Fear not. There's no need for fear, because again, when you're sitting out in an open field, it's nighttime, and all of a sudden this angel appears to you out of nowhere, you're going to be a little frightened. I mean, Mary was told as well, when Gabriel is mentioned, because Gabriel is an angel, and Gabriel was sent not only to her cousin Elizabeth, or I'm sorry, to her husband Zechariah, but also to Mary, and both says, "Fear not." Because again, you and I both would fear if all of a sudden this angel appeared in this heavenly host. But again, it is a message of assurance. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." No fear needed, because I'm giving you a message of great joy, good tidings of great joy, and it's also a message of acceptance. It's for everybody, not just a select few, as some want to believe and teach, which shall be to all people. Verse number 10. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The worship of Christmas can truly be for all people. And it should be the center of the focus of God's people, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ during this time of year more than any other time, just because he came into the world. But it's a message of assurance. It's a message of acceptance. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." God gave his own message. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." There's nobody else that came up with such a wonderful plan as the Lord has and did. The plan of salvation, the plan of robing himself in human flesh, being tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, so that we could have eternal life. And then he just didn't sit down at the right hand of the Father when it was all finished, but he came to dwell in every believer. His Spirit dwelling in every believer. We have much to be thankful for this time of year, and we have much to praise God for, and we have much to tell others as well. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." What a wonderful night it must have been for those shepherds, but what a wonderful life it is for you and me and all that have put their faith and trust in that message that we have heard, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But on this night, they were focused on one thing, these shepherds. Look at verse 11 and 12. Because not only must our worship be based upon truth, scripture, and again, there's nothing wrong with a Christmas tree. We have a tree, it's decorated, the decorations, we'll do presents and all of that. But the main focus is Jesus Christ. And we speak about Christ, and we will even read the what we call the Christmas story on Christmas Day. And we have our traditions, you have your traditions, but again, as a child of God, the focus is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. As the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Our worship must be focused on the Savior. In verse 11, it speaks of the deliverance of Christ, because it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. What do I need to be saved from? I don't know if you ever use that terminology with someone and say, "Hey, you know what? You need to be saved. What do I need to be saved from?" And you have to explain to them what the Savior came for. You have to explain to them why they need to be saved. And it speaks of, in verse 11, Jesus Christ being the Savior that would come and deliver us from the penalty of sin, would deliver us from the grasp of the devil, and that would give us life and give it more abundantly. I love the name Savior, because it, you know, it means deliverer and preserver. He didn't just deliver us, but he preserves us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Remember in the Old Testament when you read about Moses, in the time when Jochebed gave birth, his mother gave birth to Moses, it was a time when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt at the time, had made a decree that all baby boys were to be killed, thrown into the Nile River. He even tried to get the midwives that would help the Israelite women in birthing. He said, "If you see it is a boy, kill it." But these two midwives feared God, and they helped to keep Moses alive. And when Jochebed looked into the face of Moses, she knew that child was special. And she put her life on the line to protect that child. And when she could not hide him no more, the Bible records that she made a little basket for him and took him down to the Nile River and just left him there, basically putting him in the hands of God and letting God do what God wanted to do. And obviously God had already prepared the heart of Pharaoh's daughter, because when Pharaoh's daughter looks into the basket after spying it over in the reeds and sending one of her maidens to go get it, when she looks into that basket, for the first time we hear that Moses cries. He must not have cried before, because if he would have cried when his mother, Jochebed, was trying to hide him, he would have been found out. But that cry gripped the heart of Pharaoh's daughter, and she took Moses as her own son and raised him. And he was raised in the house of Pharaoh for God's purpose. What I'm saying is that when Mary and Joseph and even the shepherds come and they look into the face of this baby, they know. Obviously, Mary and Joseph, they know, because they both were told that this is the Lord. These shepherds come, and again, looking into the face of this baby, and you know the message that you heard, but you're looking at a frail baby, a baby that has to be taken care of, a baby that has to be nursed, a baby has to be protected. And yet this baby came to protect, came to deliver, came to save. Now, how it must not have really been understood at the time. But remember, we didn't read the verse, but if you were to read down in Luke chapter 2, I believe it's verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What I'm saying is that we as God's people, we have to keep the focus of Christmas on worshiping the Savior. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You and I, as we open up our gifts this season that loved ones will probably give us, let us never forget the gift that the Lord extended to us that we opened and received Christ as our Savior. But I'm glad that the Lord gave a message to the shepherds, but he didn't leave them in the dark to figure out where to go. He gave them the direction to Christ. Look at verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, without telling them to go to the stable, these shepherds would know exactly where they would find a manger, which is nothing but a feeding trough for the animals. But the Lord gives them the direction of Christ, how to find Christ, just as the Lord gives direction in our day for people to find Christ. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." You know, it speaks of the Lord. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And to remind us this morning, God does not do anything by chance. God doesn't decide, you know, well, let's see, you know, what would the people like today? You know, where should I have the Savior be born? How should I have him be born? What family line should he be born in? The Lord has all this already planned from the beginning, before he spoke one planet into existence. You realize this morning it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. I read that in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But remember, the Pharisees, when they spoke of Nazareth, and Nazareth is mentioned as well in the Old Testament, but they just could not wrap their heads around Jesus being the Messiah. And they just rejected him. Their hearts became harder and more wicked against the Lord. But the Lord chose the city of Bethlehem. I know it's prophesied in the Old Testament, but do you remember what Bethlehem means? The house of bread. The house of bread. And Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Like I said, God does everything perfectly, decently, and in order. And as we're even studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school, the Lord addresses each of the churches by a specific name to that church. And each of those names represent who he is and the church that he is writing these letters to. When they hear it, they understand what he's implying as they read have the letters read to them. And as we think about Bethlehem, the house of bread, God chose Bethlehem because God was bringing the bread of life to his people. Who provided manna from heaven in the wilderness for God's people? God did. That manna from heaven sustained every Israelite, every nourishment they need, every vitamin they need. It was all in one manna. And yet many of them would be disgusted later on with the manna. The Bible uses the word loathe, as they would say, "We loathe this manna. We don't want what God wants to give us anymore. We want some meat. And we don't even want God to be our king. We want an earthly king like everybody else." We should never find ourselves being complacent like the world. God chose Bethlehem for Christ to be born in a manger, because he is the bread of life, and God was giving us bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. In John 6:51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Lord Jesus Christ did just that. He fulfilled the Father's will in living that perfect life for you and me. He perfectly became the sacrifice. As John the Baptist would say there at the Jordan River, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus did just that. He paid the penalty for sin for every single person. But not every single person will receive his finished work. Many will reject it. Many will not understand it. They will not allow themselves to understand that they need Christ. No, there's got to be a different way. I think I know what's better. I'll do it this way. And they miss out on the greatest gift. And we understand that lost people miss out on the greatest gift. And we pray and we beg that they will receive Christ as their Savior. But may us, may God's people never forget the true worship of Christmas, that it is about Christ. It is about the Savior of the world. The Lord gave these shepherds a direction to Christ. He told them exactly where they could find him. And you'll know it is the baby, the correct baby, because he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is strips of garment, strips of material, which represented the death he came to die. So the Lord gave them a correct direction. They knew to go to a stable. They would find this baby in a stable, in a manger. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And oh, how we are so rich today. Well, I don't have a lot in the bank. I got a lot of bills. I sure don't feel rich. But you understand, as a child of God, you're richer than the richest man on this planet. Because there are some rich people according to the world standard in this world. They have it all, seemingly, but they're miserable. So many rich people have committed suicide because they have no joy and no peace. Because all the money in the world cannot buy you the inner joy and the inner peace and a home in heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ became poor so we could become rich. Because one day, you know, we'll be walking on the streets of gold, as the book of Revelation depicts the beautiful city of Jerusalem. And how Jesus says that there are many mansions in the Father's home. I mean, you and I are richer than the richest person in this world because we have something that inflation cannot touch, thieves cannot steal, government cannot regulate. You have something that only the Lord Jesus Christ gave. And no man can touch it. No man can take it. It's something that's more valuable than anything you and I own in this world. And that's why we've got to keep the focus of Christmas. Enjoy the festivities. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the lighting of Christmas trees and all of that. But the main focus of our hearts should be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 and 14. "Because as they came to the Lord," verse 13 and 14 speaks of the angels here. Look at the angelic host in verse 13 and 14 as they displayed their worship of the Lord. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, the number of this heavenly host that appeared. But listen to Revelation 5. "And I beheld," as John is seeing what is happening in heaven. He says, "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" One day you and I will be a part of that heavenly host, the heavenly choir that just sings the praises of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.' And they did." Again, I've said before, I don't get into arguments with people, with other Christians who want to argue that, you know, well, Christmas is a pagan holiday. You shouldn't be worshiping, shouldn't be celebrating. The Bible does talk about let every man stand before his own master. Let every servant stand before his own master. I see all throughout Scripture where we are to worship. We are to celebrate the birth. Because you know what? Without Jesus Christ being born like he was, where would we be at today? That was God's plan. And again, I think a lot of people miss, a lot of Christians miss the importance. It's about Christ. Tree or no tree, lights or no lights. That's between you and God. But the worship, the true worship, should come from the heart that's been changed by the power of Christ, been changed by the Spirit of God. God revealing that wonderful gift and saying, it's yours. Do you remember the day that you received that gift and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Look back, if you would. In verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. These shepherds, as soon as the angelic host had disappeared, they didn't hesitate. They didn't say, well, you know, we'll wait till the sun comes up. No. They made haste and went back into the city to find what they were told they would find. They came with hearts ready to worship Savior. In Psalm 111, the Bible says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Just as the wise men later will come after this event, they'll come later when Jesus is about 2 years old, and they'll come to worship the King of Kings. Yet the shepherds had the great opportunity on that night. Many times God gives us an opportunity and we neglect that opportunity to either worship Him. And serving is a form of worship. Worship is not just being in a church setting, having our hymns open and singing a song. That is worship, but so is giving of our tithes and offerings. Giving of what God has given us, that's a form of worship, but also serving. Going above and beyond just the normal. Going above and beyond what is expected and giving more of yourself. Again, they searched for Christ in verses 15 through 16. Again, verse 16, they came with haste. They wanted to come and see and to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They wanted to come and worship the great shepherd. And in verse 17, their eyes beheld the Savior in that manger. And when they had seen it, when they had seen what they told they would see, in Matthew 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. They saw not just a baby in a feeding trough. They saw God. Have we forgotten that God is with us? God didn't send an angel to be born, to be laid in a manger, to live a perfect life. He himself stepped down from glory, yet still sitting upon his throne of glory, stepped down and was laid in that manger. The true worship of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Have you seen Christ this Christmas? Have we missed him again? Have we forgotten what it's all about? Have we kept silent and telling others about the great gift of Jesus Christ? God's love all wrapped in that beautiful gift. Because in verse 17 and 18, after the shepherds saw, notice in verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Maybe you're wondering, well, how can this be? Now, when the wise men come later, Herod is troubled, and the Bible says, and all of Jerusalem is troubled as well, because Herod was not a nice guy. Doesn't matter who will and will not receive Christ. It doesn't matter who will and will not worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your life and my life has been changed because of a special event that happened so long ago. Your course of life has been altered. No longer are you on the road to destruction, but you're on the road to eternity. You're on the road to life everlasting. You're on the road to where you're going to meet that Savior face to face. You won't be staring into the face of a baby. You'll be staring into the face of your Redeemer. As he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." In Psalm 66, verse 16, the Bible says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." The shepherds left that stable, and everybody they ran into, they told what they had heard and what they had seen. Christmas time is one of the greatest opportunities we have to tell others about the gift of Jesus Christ. May we not neglect to do that, even with family and friends, even if your family and friends have told you before, "I don't want to hear it." Why not? You have the greatest gift, and I have the greatest gift. And it truly should be the worship of our Christmas. Everything is centered around Christ. Our life should be centered around Christ. Our worship should be centered around Christ. Our relationships should be centered around Christ. I know Christmas comes once a year, but you have a relationship with Christ that's every day, that never changes. Whether it's snowing, whether it's sunshining, whether it's raining, whether the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour, it never changes what Jesus did for you and for me. Go ahead and stand if you would, and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning, and thank you for the true meaning of Christmas. Father, thank you that you do. You seek for those to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, it is from a heart of reverence. It's from a heart of gratitude. It's from a heart of love. And Father, we thank you for the love and the joy and the peace that you've placed within our hearts. And I thank you, Father, for just the relationship that we have with you through Christ. And Father, we don't have to understand everything. But Lord, this one thing that we do understand is that your love was manifested on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was born to die so those who were dead could live again. Father, we do thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Father, for, again, Father, just the fact that you watch over us and you see us. And Father, though no one may know our thoughts, may not know the hurts, the struggles on the inside, yet you do. And Father, you stand there before us saying, "Cast your care upon me, for I care for you." Father, we just thank you for all that you do, and we thank you, Father, for just guiding our steps, because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Father, I ask that you would, as the piano begins to play, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, drawing us unto you, helping us to respond to whatever your leading is in our life.